What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And today we are going to be talking about defining enough. So we're going to be talking about statistics on happiness versus how much money somebody makes, fame versus happiness, and kind of taking stock of our own lives and figuring out, okay, what is enough for us? And hopefully you listeners can, it's an opportunity for you guys to take a step back too and decide if you guys are doing the things that make you happy and what that would take.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We've got a great quotable. This is submitted by Helpster Tori. The quotable itself is from Asherina Yalda. The quote is, "Your soul is your best friend. Treat it with care, nurture it with growth, feed it with love." Oh, that's very nice.
What a good quote for this theme, this topic today.
A very eat, pray, love sort of sort of quote. That's always a good sort of thing
feed
to hear,
soul.
You know?
Yes.
It's what you got. Your soul and yourself is you're with yourself all the time.
Yes. Yep. At the end of the day, that's it.
Gotta learn to be best friends with yourself for sure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So thank you, Helpster Tori, for submitting this one. If you would like to submit your favorite quote to be on the show, you can do so at patreon.com/selfhelpless and join our Patreon community. And that way you can be more involved with the show. And it's so fun. We love our patrons so much.
Yes.
So Del, you want to go ahead and get into defining enough?
Let's do it. Yes. So basically, we're going to cover a lot of different things, but definitely a recurring theme with money, just because I don't think it's any shock to people that that's, you know, one of the biggest concerns of people everywhere. You know, one of the biggest reasons, you know, relationships don't last, one of the biggest stressors we have. And of course, you know, health and safety are also totally up there, but they're all woven in, you know, money can affect all of those other things. So let's just start off with the definition of enough, which is interesting. Yes. You know, enough is as much or as many as necessary, desirable or tolerable, sufficient. So enough is subjective. There is no, you know, it's no like, okay, once you reach X amount of this and this, you're done. We all have to define what that means to us. It's very personal. And I think that's why the comparison trap can be so horrible, because you're the only person that can define what enough means to you. And I think a lot of us have the tendency to look outside of ourselves to tell us what's enough. And I think that's why, you know, it can result in a lot of unhappiness and frustration and all of that. So yeah. I would love to kind of start off with some of the studies that have been done regarding happiness and money. And then Kelsey and I are going to kind of talk about some of our own situations with enough, what's enough been for us and how that's changed over time as well. Mm-hmm. I'm referencing comparecamp.com for this study. And this was done in 2010. And the person conducting the study was basically checking in with the participants' everyday quality of life, the joy, stress, sadness, anger, and affection that make one's life pleasant or unpleasant, and also just life evaluation as well, the thoughts that people have when they think about their lives. So basically what they found out is that people are usually pretty happy when they reach about $75,000 in annual revenue. Hmm. So that would be equivalent to maybe $90,000 per year now in 2021. And after that, that's kind of like the cap that they found on people's happiness of the average person.
Sure.
And found that, you know, with any higher salary, it kind of was just, you know, it was pretty similar. And they did notice that low income is associated both with low life evaluation, low emotional well-being, but high income does buy life satisfaction, but doesn't always include or equal happiness. And of course, that kind of brought up some feelings for me, like, well, what the fuck is the difference? You know, what's right. The difference between emotional well-being, feeling like satisfied with your life and happiness? And I'm curious to know what the definition of happiness they were using for that study, because I think, again, just like enough, happiness is so subjective too.
Right, so, of course.
I would say, man, my emotional well-being is taken care of, my needs are met. I guess what would be missing for me maybe would be the maybe amount of joy I'm experiencing in my day-to-day through my work or something like that. I was curious to know what people maybe felt were missing after some of this stuff.
Right.
Basically, the general consensus from the 2010 study was that once enough money is earned to cover basic needs, everyday purchases and loans, you know, people may be driven to increase their earnings just by comparison of other people or the desire to attain material goods and stuff like that.
Right.
And then a newer study came out in 2019 that basically refutes that article. So maybe it can't buy love, but it can provide happiness, or at least some happiness.
Right. Right.
So the person conducting the study, Killingsworth research, has been published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And he created this Track Your Happiness app, basically, where you can check in and update how you're feeling at different parts of your day, which yeah. added to this overall experiment that he conducted, and found that both life satisfaction and experience well-being increased with income. So, okay. However, unlike the 2010 research, well-being continued to increase as steeply past the annual income of 75 grand and up.
So there wasn't you hit no 75,000. Yeah, there's no cap.
Yes, exactly. So I thought that was interesting because I got to be honest, when I've always heard, you know, money doesn't buy happiness and all this stuff. But listen, from what I've experienced, it does make shit a lot easier. And that makes me fucking happy. I mean, I have been super broke and I have had, you know, my needs met and make good money. And my gosh, I think it just, it provides so much happiness because of what money can provide for you. It's not like I don't think anybody's happy with money in the sense that it's just pieces of dirty ass paper. You know, it's not like the physical object of money.
Of course.
It's the, you know, what you can get in exchange for money. I don't know. How do you feel, Kelsey?
Yeah. There's a great line in Ariana Grande's song, Seven Rings, where she says, whoever said money can't solve your problems must have not had enough money to solve them. Because the whole theme of that song is just like, I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it. Like, it's just like, she's just like, I'm buying everything. And also, it's kind of a funny, I guess, interesting perspective that throughout that song, she's buying things for her best friends.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of seven rings is like, rather than focusing on getting a ring from a man, she's like, I'm going to buy, not only am I going to buy myself a ring, I'm going to buy my friends' rings. Because these are all my life partners here. And
Yeah, it's...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I don't know. We're going to get into some quotes from other celebrities that are a little contradictory to that theme of the Seven Rings song. But of course, I think you do hit a certain amount of wealth where now you're dealing with new problems that you wouldn't have had before, because now you have to protect your wealth. Now you're buying property, you're buying nice cars, you're buying nice jewelry. And with that comes a risk of things getting stolen, people trying, people in your life wanting you for your money. You don't know who is genuine. I mean, whole explosion of things that I'm sure big celebrities deal with. I also thought it was interesting too, when we were talking about defining enough, and then to just go back to the actual dictionary definition of what enough is, and that it is subjective, right? Like we all define what enough is for ourselves, but social media and just media in general, I think, have defined enough for us. And that's where a lot of unhappiness comes into play, is because we are all comparing ourselves with this imaginary idea of X amount of followers is what's going to make me happy, because that'll be enough. X amount of money, X amount of career success is what's going to make me happy. But it's like, you really have to take a step back and go, but okay, but for me, really, like if Instagram didn't exist, if I wasn't looking at everybody else's stuff, what would I have that would make me go, this is enough?
Absolutely. You can even think of it, you know, even in terms of money, since that's going to be a big through line, is that what might purchase you a home of a certain size in one state might not be technically enough to get that type of home in another state. Like that, just a very basic idea of how it is so personal. It's so personal based on where you live, who you are, your family size, what you value, what you enjoy doing, all of that stuff.
Totally.
I appreciate what money can buy. And I think that the whole money can't buy happiness thing, I feel like it can actually discourage people from maybe wanting to go after it or going after it, or maybe feeling guilty if they go after it. And so, you know, I know what it feels like to barely provide for myself. And I also know what it feels like to be able to provide for myself, donate, you know, to causes I really care about, pick up tabs and stuff for family.
Yeah.
That feels so much better. And it's not because of greed or, you know, this whole like money is the root of all evil mindset people can have. You know, money gives you options and freedom and choices. And unfortunately, money is part of our modern world. It's part of our society. We can't ignore it. And it provides a lot of things for a lot of people. So I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of an overall just mindset around that topic too, which can be a whole nother, you know, episode, obviously.
Right.
Some other findings from one of these articles is they found that you're in control of up to 40% of your own happiness. That's what one of these studies found. So, you know, that's a good chunk, whether it's about your mindset or taking action on certain things. But of course, they also found that, you know, 60%, that's an even bigger chunk, is the result of things that might be out of your control, mix of factors like genes or, you know, people's behaviors, life circumstances. I would love to add privilege on there too, obviously. And what's really fascinating is that this study found like the most happy ages people tend to experience.
This was so interesting to me.
You want to read that, Kelsey? Yeah. That was fascinating.
Okay. So this study claims that you are happiest at age 33.
Which you're almost there, aren't you?
Almost there, baby. Next year. Come be my year. You're happiest at age 33, 55, and in your 70s, at least on average. They say 33 because you have the energy and knowledge to pursue your passion. And might I add, I think also that you've 20s are so much for, I think, learning lessons, making mistakes, all that stuff. Not that you don't keep making mistakes later in life, but you are learning a lot in your 20s.
Yes.
And then in your 30s, you get to kind of put that knowledge into play. So 55, because you've gained enough assets and authority. Okay, that makes sense. And then in your 70s, because you're free of many stress-causing responsibilities and you can look back on your life's accomplishments.
Yeah, right? Like you're retired, you're probably, you know, hopefully reaping certain benefits that you couldn't always. How did you feel? Like, I mean, obviously we're not at 55 and 70 yet. We can expect every 20 years to feel a little bit happier throughout our life. Yeah. But how do you feel about just the being so close to us, you know, age 33, that's pretty close to where we're at. How do you feel about that number specifically?
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, God, certainly after the year everybody just had, I'm like, cool. that'd be nice. But that whole that you're in charge of 40% of your happiness, that of course, I just think that's super subjective. I think it is a mindset thing. I think it's a genetic disposition. Some people have a genetic disposition toward depression. Yes. And so it's like that can really fluctuate up and down. But I loved my 20s. I generally think I can find the good in most situations. And of course, there are some hardships in your 20s. Absolutely. But I can also think of so many great times in my 20s. But I do understand that people are saying, oh, your 30s are even better than your 20s because you're just more, you're more confident. You're more self-assured. You know what you're doing. And I've felt that in the past couple years for myself. And I would hope that, that would just continue to grow. So,
yes.
33, exactly. Baby. I'm looking at you next year. Here we go.
Here's to looking at 33. Yeah, totally. And I would agree. I feel just like I'm more me in my 30s, although I'm only 31. I've only been here for a little bit of time. Yeah. But I can say that as I got closer to 30, I feel like I started experiencing less extremes. Like in my early mid 20s, like my highs would be so high and I felt like my lows would be so low because I was just figuring so much shit out. And now I feel like more steady. Like, I have highs and lows and stuff, but it just feels very close to like a baseline.
Yeah,
of, for sure. You know, more contentment, I think. Because like, man, in your 20s, I just think about, you know, doing stand-up and stuff at that age where it's like, oh my God, you get like some awesome show and you get paid to do this thing that you love. And then, you know, a few weeks later, you're broke again. And you're like, shit, I was on this high. And now I remember just those extremes of how feeling on top of the world 1 week and feeling like nothing is possible the next week. And I don't think I experienced those types of things really as much anymore.
Yeah.
Which I actually appreciate.
For sure. I think I've shared on here before that when I used to work during the day as an administrative assistant in Seattle, a lot of my coworkers and my bosses came to one of my shows that I was headlining, and it was this like great show, this great experience. Everybody was so proud of me. My boss was just super complimentary. And the very next morning, it was like, I walked in and there's papers on my desk. Like, I need you to make me 20 of these copies. And you're just like, fuck. Like, it just would go away so quickly, you know, and like go back to just feeling like you're at the bottom of the totem pole. And so anyway,
Didn't we say, was it when we had Brian Regan on, when he talked about like going off to do a show, like he just gets off stage with like thousands of people and he feels on top of the world. Then he goes backstage and his daughter's like, get me a Band-Aid. He's like, can you just let me have a minute? Was that right?
I think so. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was him. I'm like, oh my God, it's just so funny that no matter what level you kind of, you feel like you might reach in your career mm-hmm. or just, you know, personal success. It's like, yeah, you're always going to get
a little bit. Yeah.
A little reality check.
Yeah. So funny.
And yeah, I totally second the idea of like, you got to take every study with a grain of salt, really. You know, especially if it's like a one-off study and the control group isn't very big and all that stuff. And
yeah.
You know, only patterns of studies that come off with the same results, I would say.
Yeah.
Pay more attention to.
We've got some really interesting celebrity testimonials on fame versus happiness. So Cardi B says, well, one positive thing about fame is that I can help my family. Everything that I want to buy, I can get. I don't have to worry so much about my future. One negative thing is that even though I'm happy, I feel like I was a little bit happier 2 or 3 years ago when I had less money.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's fascinating. Yeah.
I had less people who had opinions about my life. I felt like my life was mine. Now I feel like I don't even own my life. I feel like the world owns me.
Oh, God. Shit, dude. That is so interesting. And I personally, I would like to have a certain amount of money, but not be in the public space. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's like money and the public space. Oh my gosh, I can't imagine all the things. But if it's like, nobody really knows who you are. And then on top of it, you have a lot of money. I feel like, you know, you're maybe less likely to, I don't know, be so taken advantage of, because I feel like you can be a little bit off the radar.
Right. People I've always said that authors have it like just chef's kiss, because you can be so wealthy and so successful in your field and you can just walk into a Starbucks a lot of the time and people might not know who you
like
are.
Like a scientist. Or some shit.
Right.
Like people are like, I'm probably not looking this up. I'm probably not Googling.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fascinating. Cause you would look at Cardi B's life now. And of course on social media, everything looks so glamorous and great. And then to hear that she was actually happier 2 or 3 years ago. Crazy.
Right.
So interesting.
It's gotta be so hard to be at that level where you don't really know if you can trust people. Like that's gotta be so lonely that once you reach a certain level, you don't know if people really care about you and want to get to know you for you, or if they really want to get to know you for what you might be able to do for them. That's gotta be a very lonely place to be and really confusing and probably a lot of heartbreak.
Yeah. This is a quote from Justin Bieber. You're in your hotel room and there are fans all around, paparazzi following you everywhere, and it gets intense. When you can't go anywhere or do anything alone, you get depressed. I wouldn't wish this upon anyone. Wow.
Yeah, geez, dude. And he was so young he rose to fame, right? Yeah. Wasn't he like discovered on YouTube?
Usher discovered him and he was like tiny, tiny young teenager. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Lopez says, you can have all the money in the world and it doesn't mean you're a happy person. Money doesn't solve problems. It makes some things easier, but it just gives you a different set of problems. Mm. Everything has a trade-off in this world. I've learned that from being broke as hell and having money.
Mm. Yeah.
I've always found her perspective to be so valuable in terms of that, because she's been so vocal about coming from nothing, right? Like coming from being very broke and now having the success that she has.
Right. Right. And then I found some quotes too. These are from the ones Kelsey just read are from People Magazine quotes. These are from Entrepreneur. This is a Charles Duhigg quote, who's an author and habit formation expert. He says, a dollar is essentially a stand-in for some other type of resource. Time is a resource. Energy is a resource. A pension is a resource. Once you understand that a dollar is just stand-in for some other types of resources, because we're all trying to find some easy way to exchange one resource for another, then you begin to understand like how money works. I think that, that makes a lot of sense. Kind of like, it's not the money itself. It's what the exchange can provide. And then I thought you would think this was interesting, Kels, as we've talked about this before, but this is from Abby Jacobson, comedian and actress, Broad City. Yes. For the most part, I'm careful to save money because I get a little nervous that the success I've been finding just won't keep going. But I also work hard all the time to ensure it won't all go away. The next thing is always in the works. And lately, because I work so much, I've been feeling a bit like a workaholic. But now the thought crosses my mind, what am I working for if I'm not going to get to enjoy things? So I've actually started to splurge on myself and other people in ways I never have before. It's like, that's probably not a quote from very long ago. And like, you know, they've been doing well for a while.
Yeah. I love that. It is so good to get that reminder of like, what is the point? What right. is the point of making money and trying to find success if you're not going to also balance it and use it to feel good?
Mm-hmm. There's a few more, and then I would love to hear about like your personal definition for yourself, Kelsey, on like what's sure. enough for you. This is from Psychology Today, a Mae West quote. I've been rich and I've been poor. Believe me, rich is better. I just want to throw that one.
That's funny.
This is from Everyday Power. I refuse to accept other people's ideas of happiness for me, as if there's a one size fits all standard for happiness. That's a Kanye quote, believe it or not.
Wow.
And then we recently talked about Madam C.J. Walker a little bit. This one. I had to make my own living and my own opportunity, but I made it. Don't sit down and wait for the opportunities to come. Get up and make them. We talk so much about creating your own opportunities. Mm-hmm. And the last one had to throw in for Kelsey. If everything was perfect, you would never learn and you would never grow. Beyonce. Oh, you're wearing a Beyonce sweatshirt. I didn't even notice that. There you
good.
Go.
Full circle moment.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So yeah. Kelsey, what is enough for you? And when I think of enough, I'm thinking about financially, relationships, family, friends, lifestyle, health, like, you know, a well-rounded kind of enoughness. What do you feel like that is for you? And has that changed?
Yeah, I do think I'm starting to get a little bit more into that place of like, okay, what ultimately am I working toward? Really, what is enough for me? What is enough financially? What is going to be the point that I start to take a breath and go, okay, how can I enjoy the success I've found so far and while continuing to try to have more.
Mm-hmm.
And not only, there's a great article that came out about particularly the stand-up comedy grind that you feel like you're holding your breath indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
And that just years and years go by and you feel like you can never take a break and you can never let up because it's so competitive. Everybody's trying to get everything. And 2020 and COVID, I think everybody took a step back and was like, do I really want to do this? Questlove, who I adore, he comments on my Trumpet Tuesday videos and makes song requests, and it's just like the best. he posted a really interesting video on Instagram, and it's a clip of him flying out of JFK. And he did this whole post about, I used to do this all the time before COVID. I was on planes all the time, mm-hmm. and now I took this big break. And now that I'm back doing it, I've been asking myself, do I really want to do this again?
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes like a forced break to get that perspective. And I think I had, I'm still figuring out exactly what I want, but I think I'd had this idea in my mind of, in order to be successful, I need to be on the road every single weekend. I need to just put my body through hell. And mm-hmm. now I still want to be booked, you know, frequently and consistently, but I'm understanding that that is not the only source of my happiness. And it never has been. I still love stand up so much, and I love doing it for a living, but I also love my family and my friends. I love hobbies. I feel like you listeners know. So like, I love sports so much. I love makeup so much, and doing like the makeup workshops online and all that. And it's so important, because if you go too hard on that one end of only working all the time, even if that mm-hmm. is going to build certain things up, you're probably going to get really burnt out and miserable. So I've been looking to go on the road 2 times a month, like 2 weekends of the month, maybe 3 max. But I really do like that balance of getting to have the rest of the other parts of my life. Yeah. And just trying to be really mindful of that life pie. I think it's called the life pie from Artist Way, where it has you break your life into 6 categories, and mm-hmm. you have to put a little dot, and it's either close to the center of the circle or toward the edge. And that's, you put it where it is based on how big of a role it's playing in your life right now. And so then you connect mm-hmm. them, and it creates a web, and you can see where it's really lopsided in your life. Right. If maybe you're really lacking in creativity and play, maybe you're really lacking in family time, and that helps you kind of go, okay, this is where I need to put more time and maybe less time mm-hmm. in other places.
Yeah.
Yeah. How absolutely. About you, Del?
Yeah, I absolutely. I think it's just this, for me, it feels like this consistent dance kind of between being grateful for what I have and giving myself permission to strive for more, and staying in between that space. Because I feel like being too far end of the spectrum is when we can kind of not be present, or at least myself. Like, if I'm only thinking about striving for more, I'm not enjoying the moment. I'm not being grateful for what I have. And if I'm, you know, I think you can obviously always be grateful for what you have, but maybe that can kind of lead to complacency or even guilt if you want more or want to get, you know, strive for more. So I think that's what it is for me. And my enough, like defining enough for myself, I feel like has changed a lot. But I feel like I'm finally in a place where I do think if nothing ever changed, I feel good. Like if nothing ever changed, I feel like I have enough. And that has not always been the case. Of course, I would like, you know, more space and, you know, these things like a giant backyard for Maverick and all that stuff. Like, yes, but if nothing ever changed, I feel like I would be happy. But when it comes to the specifics, like I remember, you know, one of my first jobs or one of the first several jobs I had, it's like making $9 an hour, $10 an hour, whatever it is. And thinking like, oh, if I could just make $15 an hour at one point in my life, I would be set, you know? And then, and then I would get there and be like, this is not going to cover the cost of living in Los Angeles. Right. And so kind of hitting those milestones, being grateful to hit them and enjoying that, but also, you know, still kind of going after other things. So when it comes to money, that seems to kind of always be changing. Yeah. And then I even remember this, like with relationships, like my kind of standards for what I wanted a relationship, that kind of enoughness has changed, where I feel like after a certain amount of time or, you know, experiences that I had, it was like, I just want a guy that can hold a job and is nice to me. That's all I'm asking for. That would be enough. Right. And then it's like, okay, maybe not. No, I also need somebody who treats me well and I'm attracted to, and as a person, you know, good personality and all that. And then, you know, go from there. And, you know, when it comes to like my family, I think for me, it's always been, I just need more time because I want to spend it with my family. So time has always been like, how can I get enough time? How can I get enough time back to do these things that I enjoy doing? And I feel like that's in a good place now. Yeah. Even like lifestyle wise is like, I remember I've always hated cooking. Never. And I know this, I bring this up a lot, but I think it's just because of, you know, societal gender roles. It's been like a common theme throughout my life where I've gotten some pushback about it.
Yeah.
And used to think like, oh my God, if I could ever make enough money to be able to have a meal delivery service so I never have to cook again. And now I tried it out and now I'm here and I'm thinking, oh my God, can I allow myself to dream? What would it be like if at one point in my career, I could have like a chef come over once a week and cook me and Cam a nice dinner? Am I even allowed to dream that big? You know, if I am allowed to do that. So being grateful, but also thinking, how cool would it be if this also, what we're different in?
That's a good place to be, being like happy with what you have, but also open to the idea of, oh, that would be cool too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So we have some tips on defining your own enough. A good thing to do is list your priorities. So define all that you need to survive. So just list what that is. Define what your comforts are, because those are two different things, but I think they are both incredibly important, obviously. Ask yourself, how can I live a life fulfilled? Only do what you can manage. This is such a big one.
Yeah.
Know your limits or define your limits. Make choices that lead to your happiness and well-being. Avoid burnout. Stop worrying about your weaknesses and all the places you see yourself as not enough. Grow the gifted, strong parts of yourself in ways that feel good for you. Practice gratitude and do not strive for unattainable ideas of being enough.
Mm-hmm. And I would say, like, I have actually gotten extremely specific. Like when I, because I've written down this before and done these exercises for myself, like, what would it look like to have my dream day to day? What does that actually look like specifically? How many meals would I be getting delivered a day or for a week? And how, you know, how much time would I have and all that?
Right.
And those specifics really help, at least I have found, because it makes them more realistic. You can kind of break down an action plan.
Right.
And I remember at one point thinking, God, it would be a dream to be able to have things to give me back my time, like a meal delivery service and a laundry service. Could you imagine if I could have a personal trainer one day, like all these things. And I had like my dream list of things. And then I would ask myself, how could I bring one of these things into my life right now in a very simple, small way so I could kind of get a taste of it and maybe motivate myself to kind of strive for that. So I remember doing that, like, okay, what would it look like if I did this just for like 2 weeks, this thing, or this, you know, for a month, or I hired a house cleaner one time just to feel like I'm living the dream, you know, whatever that might be for you. So I would encourage you to get really specific. And then on the other end of the spectrum of knowing kind of when you've had enough also, you know, if you're in a point where like you hate your day to day, or you find yourself really bored and just not stimulating, you know, stimulated creatively, or you feel like you're filling holes, a hole that's like bottomless with things that don't matter to you, or maybe that are self-destructive. Also knowing when you've had enough on the other end too, is probably very important to know that it's time to make a change.
Totally. Yeah.
Do you have any specifics that you've either written down or that are in your head of what's enough for you in a certain area of your life?
Sure. So this is going to sound so silly, but I have told myself I would like to get 100,000 followers on Instagram.
Very doable. Very doable.
In terms of like an actual metric, I'm at almost 87,000 right now. And that sounds silly, and I'm sure it's so fleeting where once I hit 100,000, I'm going to be like, oh, man, I want more. You know,
right.
I know that it's – I already know myself well enough that it's not going to be enough. But I would – like that I think has been the climb that a lot of people who are whose business thrives partly with social media, you're always like trying to get that 100,000 mark. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Financially, I haven't really done like set numbers. Of course, I would like to be in a six-figure range at some point. Career-wise, I had a really interesting talk. I can't remember if I talked about this on the podcast, but I had a good conversation with Dan Cummins, who has one of my favorite podcasts. I've talked about it before. It's called Time Suck. If you guys don't know Time Suck, you should go listen. But we just talked about getting to a place in comedy where you take a step back and go, okay, what are the specific things that are enough for me? Is it like a specific, like a Netflix special? Is it a credit? Or do you kind of go back to, I just want a fan base. I want to know that wherever I travel to in the country, people are going to come see me because they're fans of my work. And I think it's important to remember why you're doing what you're doing. And at least for me, that's making people laugh and being able to relate to one another. And How about you?
That's good. I think it's good to get specific. Yeah, I would say I definitely have some specifics and leaving some kind of open. Because like I said, I feel like as long as I feel like I can make choices freely and have that level of freedom and feel like relatively good in my day to day, I do feel like I have enough. But I think it's always just going to be refining and tweaking that.
Yeah.
You know, and like leveling that up. So for me, something measurable is like, I would like to have a backyard for my dog. That is a huge feat in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
like that is something very measurable. The backyard thing, baby. Oh, another measurable thing I've talked about. I just want a nice bathtub. I want a nice bath. I'd spend so much time in the bath. Sometimes I take two baths a day, you guys.
Like, that is insane.
I told Cam, I was like, listen, this is my dream. What is your dream? Cam really wants like a big kitchen. Want to like, as when we talk about like material stuff.
Yeah.
And so we each have that kind of in mind. But other than that, like
that's great.
I'm grateful for where I'm at. And I know what it feels like in those like before and after snapshots for sure.
Yeah.
So yes.
Well, this was a really interesting topic, and I hope you listeners maybe take a moment today to journal and have a clear idea of what is enough for you. Because I think that can help people's life trajectory and figuring out what are priorities and what aren't priorities.
Get specific, write it down. I remember writing things down like when I could just go for a 2-hour walk on a Tuesday, that would be so cool and enough. You know, like that kind of freedom, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
You want to read the review of the episode, Kelsey Cook?
Yes, sure. So this is from Thorny. It says, thank you so much. This podcast has helped me a lot. It has gotten me through long, monotonous days at work. I feel like I'm hanging out with friends. I honestly love how you girls talk about everything. It has helped me realize that I'm not the only one going through things kind of like this. Oh, thank you so much. That's what I was just saying about stand-up. Like, I love connecting with people, and that makes me so happy to hear that. The things we talk about, you go, oh, okay, I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Other people are going through that. So thank you so much, Thorny, for leaving such a sweet review. As always, you guys know, if you haven't yet, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It helps us stay on the charts. It helps us move up the charts and reach more people. And then you got a chance to be read on the podcast, which is always fun.
Yes, indeed. Any hot segments?
Well, by the time this comes out, I will have just done my weekend at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. So if Helpsters came out to that,
nice.
Thank you so much. My weekend in DC has had to be moved to July. So actually, you know what? Let me just double check real quick because I want to make sure I get the dates right. I guess I had to do building maintenance or something on the Comedy Club. Mm. So, okay, I'm going to be doing July 8th through 10th at the DC Comedy Loft now, guys. So, the previous episodes that you'll hear, you're going to hear me promoting it for May, but it has been moved. So July 8th through the 10th. If you already bought tickets, which I know some of you Helpsters have, they will automatically be transferred. And I hope those dates still work for you. But yeah, if the May weekend didn't for you, DC Helpsters, this one will. So July 8th through 10th, you can get tickets at kelseycook.com. I just added some more tour dates for other cities there as well. So you know, check that out.
Nice.
Yeah. How about you, Dom?
I think the biggest thing. Oh, actually, this is cool. So, my entrepreneur podcast, Aficionado, I am having my operations manager do this next season with me. So she is going to be coming on for discussions. She's amazing. Her name is Chris. Any current clients who are listening have interacted with her. She's hilarious and wonderful. And so we're going to be talking about our different perspectives. We just did an episode on how to start a side hustle. And we had very different approaches to how we started our businesses, how it led to full-time, all that kind of stuff. And we just recorded an episode all about basically how to schedule your week. She is a mother of three children and I am not. So our weeks, you know, our schedules look very different. And so we're getting in those types of discussions and, you know, two different types of perspectives. So if any entrepreneurs are listening, then feel free to check out the Aficionado podcast. And also I'm 4 days away from being married, which is weird. Which is so weird.
Yeah, so exciting. Like,
yeah, that's very strange. It's so funny because I don't have social media anymore. And I know, like, with Instagram, I probably would have shared a picture at some point.
Yeah.
Like, on Instagram, like, hey, guys, I got married. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know if I maybe I'll share some. I don't know if people give a shit. Maybe I'll share some on Patreon or something, or I'll put it
absolutely
on a
people give a
helpless
shit
story. I know you guys have been, I mean, I started dating Cam right before we started this podcast.
Yeah.
Over 4 years ago. So I feel like, yeah, you guys have been on a wild ride with me relationship wise for sure.
Yeah. Now you're getting married.
So I'll post it somewhere. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But
that's awesome. And we're so excited for you. We cannot wait to see all the
fun. Thank you. I'm excited.
This will come out before this episode airs, so it will have been out for a little bit already, but I think this is the first time we're promoting it. The girls and I, including Taylor, the OG gang, baby.
Yes.
If you listeners have been around for a while, you might remember that a year ago, the three of us did a YouTube makeup tutorial together where I tried to teach Taylor and Delaney
Kelsey
how to do their makeup.
I did a tutorial
on that. And we put it on YouTube, and it was a lot of fun. People seemed to enjoy it. It was very upsetting and alarming in a lot of ways to find out the things that Taylor and Delaney are doing to their faces on a day-to-day basis that I wasn't aware of. So we decided to do another one where we tried to replicate a Katy Perry makeup look. So I walked the girls through a tutorial, and it is on our self-helpless YouTube. It was so much fun. We're going to share it on – Taylor and I will share it on social media as well. But, like, you should go watch the full thing on YouTube. We had a great time, a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. I think you guys will like it. So,
Yeah. Yeah, you crushed it once again.
Ah, thank you, love. Mm-hmm. All right, you guys, we love you, and we hope that you're having a wonderful day and week, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Self Helpless Podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com. We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, or feel free to post it on Instagram and tag @selfhelplesspodcast so we can repost you and say thank you.